Cotton Malone stepped up to the customs window at Heathrow Airport and presented two passports, his own and his son Gary's. Positioned between himself and the glass-enclosed counter, however, stood a problem. 15-year-old Ian Dunn. "This one doesn't have a passport," he told the attendant, then explained who he was and what he was doing. A brief call to somebody led to verbal approval for Ian to re-enter the country, which didn't surprise Malone. He assumed that since the Central Intelligence Agency wanted the boy in England, they'd make the necessary arrangements. He was tired from the long flight, his knee still hurt from the kick Ian had delivered in Atlanta before trying to flee from that airport. Luckily, his own 15-year-old, Gary, had been quick to tackle the pesky scout before he'd escaped the concourse. Favors for friends. Always a problem. This one for his former boss, Stephanie Nell, at the Magellan Billet. "It's the CIA," she'd told him. Langley had called directly. Somehow they were aware Malone was in Georgia and wanted him to escort the boy back to London, handing him over to the Metropolitan Police. After that, he and Gary could head on to Copenhagen. In return, they'd received first-class tickets all the way home to Denmark. 4 days ago, he'd flown to Georgia for two reasons. The State Bar of Georgia required 12 hours of continuing legal education from all of its licensed lawyers. He'd chosen a seminar in Atlanta on international law. The second reason was personal. Gary had asked to spend the Thanksgiving holiday with him. School was out, and his ex-wife Pam thought an overseas trip a good idea. He'd wondered why she was so reticent and found out last week when Pam called his bookshop in Copenhagen. "Gary's angry," she said. "He's asking a lot of questions."
"Ones you don't want to answer?"
"Ones I'm going to have a tough time answering."
Which was an understatement.
6 months ago, she'd revealed a harsh truth to him during another call from Atlanta to Denmark. Gary was not his natural son. Instead, the boy was the product of an affair some 16 years past. Now, she'd told Gary that truth, and his son was not happy. For Malone, the news had been crushing. He could only imagine what it had been for Gary.
"Neither one of us was a saint back then, Cotton."
She liked to remind him of that reality, as if somehow he'd forgotten that their marriage supposedly ended because of his lapses.
"Gary wants to know about his birth father."
"So do I." "He has no involvement here," she said. "He's a total stranger to all of us. I don't want to open that door, ever." She took a deep breath, then added,
"He hates me. I see it in his eyes."
"You turned the boy's life upside down. He told me today that he might want to live with you." He had to say, "You know I would never take advantage of this."
"I know that. This is my fault, not yours. He's so angry. Maybe a week with you would help ease some of that."
He'd come to realize that he didn't love Gary one drop less because he carried no Malone genes. But he'd be lying to himself if he said he wasn't bothered by the fact. 6 months had passed, and the truth still hurt. But now this. One boy in his charge was angry and confused. The other seemed to be a delinquent. Stephanie had told him some. Ian Dunn had been born in Scotland. Father unknown. Mother abandoned him early. He was sent to London to live with an aunt and drifted in and out of her home, finally running away. He had an arrest record, petty theft, trespassing, loitering. The CIA wanted him because a month ago one of their people, a man named Pharaoh Curry, was shoved or jumped into the path of an oncoming underground train. Dunn was there, in Oxford Circus. Witnesses say he might even have stolen something from the dead man. So they needed to talk to him. In a few minutes, his favor for Stephanie Nell would be over. Then he and Gary would catch their connecting flight to Copenhagen. The hitch was that the Denmark flight departed not from Heathrow, but Gatwick, London's other major airport, an hour's ride east. They left customs and claimed their luggage.
"The police going to take me?" Ian asked.
"That's what I'm told." He shouldered his bag and led both boys out of the baggage area.
"Can I have my things?" Ian asked.
When Ian had been turned over to him in Atlanta, he'd been given a plastic bag that contained a Swiss Army knife, a pocket mace container, some silver shears, and two paperback books with their covers missing. Ivanhoe and Le Mort d'Arthur. Their brown edges were water-stained, the bindings veined with thick white creases. Both were 30-plus-year-old printings. Stamped on the title page was Any Old Books, with an address in Piccadilly Circus, London. He employed a similar branding of inventory, his simply announcing Cotton Malone, bookseller, Habro Blitz, Copenhagen. The items in the plastic bag all belonged to Ian, seized by customs when they took him into custody at Miami International after he'd tried to enter the country illegally. "That's up to the police," he said. "My orders are to hand you and the bag over to them."